your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
All right, this isn't meant to be a rant, just a commentary, a suggestion. After all, as you'll see, ranting on this topic only gets you in trouble. If you read the Daily Progress this past week, you may have seen a small article on a man fighting with the police and therefore being arrested for assault. No surprise, there are ramifications for stupid behavior. But in this case, I wanted to point out what set off the citizen. He was going home and found his road blocked by a police vehicle with its door open. According to the article, this man had no way around the police car and no other route home. So he sat there, waiting, and waited for quite some time. When things were cleared so that he could finally get by, he made a remark that got him into trouble. And that led to him foolishly assaulting the officer. So he was arrested and got what he deserved for grabbing a police officer. But my question is, couldn't the officers have done something to reduce the amount of time this man waited for the road to be clear? I'm not suggesting they work faster or let cars drive by when the situation may not yet be safe and secure. What I am asking is, could officers be more perceptive of the effect they are having on the area once it is safe and secure? Several months ago at a local business, two officers pulled over a car. The two police officers completely blocked the main entrance to this business while they went through their steps of checking out the car, questioning the driver, and eventually handcuffing him. Yet even after he was handcuffed and the passenger of that car was released to drive it off through the secondary entrance, both police cars remained blocking the main access for another 20 minutes or so. Why? I don't know. Certainly I could be wrong, but it seemed as though the area was safe and secure if one man was handcuffed and inside the police car, and the car itself had been removed from the property. Was there complete lack of sensitivity for the business and its customers? There are many examples of this. Just ask our area business owners. We would just like to know why, with an answer other than, because I said so. And ask that this policy be altered if safety is not an issue. By the way, local officers, I'm not ranting, just asking.
The revolution starts now.
All right, and here we go. 11:04 on the wake-up call. I don't even know what today is. The 11th of February. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. Possibly you're on Lexington's 95.9, one of the new numbers out there in the WNRN world. Although I want to point out that they probably have nothing to say about my previous suggestion. We do want to support businesses like Blue Ridge Graphics for being here for WNRN. You can find them at Mead Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, today's topic, homelessness and the homeless in general. As we talk with our guest, Jeff Cornelius. Jeff, how are you?
I'm just fine. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm always thankful of those who donate part of their otherwise probably free Sundays to come into the studio. Now, I think we probably gave you a slightly inaccurate title when doing the promotion. You're not actually the guy in charge of the Thomas Jefferson Planning District, are you?
No, I'm not.
That's probably one step higher up the food chain over there. What is your official title?
My official title is Homeless Management Information System Administrator, which makes it
that
sound
doesn't
like
have any mnemonic lead to it, does it?
I haven't found one.
What are the folks around, aside from Jeff, what do the folks around the office refer to you as?
Mostly Jeff, actually.
Are you like
the homeless guy, or
if you go to a party, you know, you can't possibly use that long phrase.
No. I say I work for the Planning District Commission, and I work on homelessness issues.
Well, that's what we'll refer to today. The homeless expert at our local planning district. Now, the planning district covers like 7 counties, correct? Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson.
Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson, Fluvanna, and Greene.
Is that all?
5 counties.
5 counties, all right.
And 1 city.
And well, that's a large enough space for what we're going to talk about today.
It is.
You recently, the reason that I asked you onto the show for this current time of year is that your group, I guess you have folks who work with you?
Yes, and there are really 2 groups that I work for. The Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission writes my paycheck. The Thomas Jefferson Area Coalition for the Homeless is a voluntary organization bringing together people who work on the problem of homelessness from different directions. And the Planning District Commission provides me as staff to do things like the homeless census. Every year, or sometimes every 2 years, but we've done it every year. The last week in January, the various organizations around the country that work with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, work on the issue of homelessness, do a census of homeless people. The people who operate shelters do a count on the Wednesday of that week of how many people they're sheltering, and all that information gets rolled up together in a report that goes into Housing and Urban Development and otherwise provides information to work from on the problem of homelessness.
All right, two questions come out of that for me. I'd like to know what the definition of homelessness is. I mean, it seems pretty simple, but I discovered just in some of the information you sent me and some of my, you know, my online research for today's show is that it's not so simple. There's not just one definition. And I'd like to know why this particular time of year is chosen to do the count.
Well, they choose this time of year, I think, because it's probably easier to find people in shelters because the weather is terrible. And it's more terrible further north and less terrible further south. But by doing it around this time of year, you'll find more people more easily. The reason it's all done at the same time is to try to keep from counting people twice, and that's always a challenge. It's a greater challenge to keep from not counting people at all, but that's a separate kind of question.
Okay. Well, what is the definition of homelessness?
All right. The definition that Housing and Urban Development uses, which is based on law, says a homeless person is somebody that doesn't have a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, or it's a person who has a primary nighttime residence that is basically a shelter, or at some place that's not designed to be a regular sleeping accommodation.
So, like what?
Like,
what's a regular sleeping accommodation? I mean, obviously a home or an apartment, but...
Yeah, a home or an apartment is something that qualifies as housed. And for HUD's purposes, it doesn't matter if it's your apartment or someone else's. If you're an adult and you're sleeping indoors, then you're housed. If you're sleeping in a car, if you're sleeping in an abandoned building, if you're camping behind Circuit City, then you are homeless. So we've basically got two groups of people that we counted that night. The people that we surveyed over the course of that week who said, I'm sleeping outside, I'm sleeping in a car, I'm sleeping in an abandoned building, I'm sleeping in a building under construction. That's one group, the unsheltered people. And it's a small group of, well, we found 21 adults when we did the survey.
Which was when?
That was the 23rd through the 25th of January.
Okay. So 3 days in late January.
Right.
3 nights in late January.
Days and nights, really. And the night of the 24th, that Wednesday night, we used the count that came in from the shelters, and they said they had 235 adults and 22 children. So that's one kind of count.
So that's the federal government's number, correct? When you're talking about housing and urban development, you're talking about the federal government definition of homeless, and they're saying you're either in a shelter that some private, public, or charitable organization has created, and these are the number of people there, or the ones you found
who said
who
they
are sleeping
had,
in a car right. or a building of some sort that's not meant to be a place to sleep.
Right. So that's housing and urban development's definition of homeless. Now, another part of the federal government is the Department of Education. And their definitions are somewhat different. They say if there's a child who's sleeping in somebody else's house, they should be counted as homeless.
And why would they say that?
Because
I mean, what's the purpose of having two separate, and I realize that I'm asking you to tell me what the federal government's thinking, and,
well,
and we may not get anywhere with that, but but why would the educational system feel the need to have a broader definition?
Because the different programs work different ways. Housing and urban development is in the housing business. They provide money for building structures, for rehabilitating structures, for subsidizing structures. So they're in the structure business. Education is in the kid business. If you have a kid who doesn't sleep the same place every night, if they're in a motel and they don't know they're going to be there tomorrow night, if they're sleeping doubled up with somebody else and don't know they're going to be there the next night, that impacts on the way they do their homework. It impacts on whether they sleep, impacts on their food. So that's why education uses that kind of a definition. And so when the schools did their count, and each of the six school districts I worked with has a person who looks after this issue, and the numbers they gave me of 303 children, 17 adults who were...
Wow, that's a big difference, because you
yes.
the first number you gave by housing and urban development definition was 20-something.
Well...
Didn't you say that? Didn't you say it was 20-some children?
Yeah. There were 22 children who slept in shelters. Couldn't confirm that there were any children sleeping outdoors, which isn't to say that there aren't, just that I couldn't confirm it.
Right, and now you're saying 300-plus based on
the school
a
count.
Different federal definition.
Yeah. And those are people that are either they're doubled up, they're inadequately housed, they're sleeping in a place.
Right, they're sleeping at, that family's sleeping at the aunt's house 1 week, and the next week they go to a friend's house so that they don't interfere, or because
right.
they're, you know, they just can't be in the way, or that person can't put them up for so long.
Right. Or they're in a motel, which is an expensive place to sleep. Or they're possibly sleeping in what the schools call inadequate housing. There were about 50 kids in that situation.
What's inadequate housing?
Inadequate means it doesn't have running water, doesn't have a bathroom, something like that.
I guess, you know.
And that was about 40 out of the 300.
I feel so naive on these things so many times because it reminds me of the very fortunate situation under which I was brought up. We're here on the Wake Up Call today talking about the homeless and homelessness in general with Jeff Cornelius from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District and the Area Coalition for the Homeless, recent 2007. Do you call it a census or a survey?
We call it a census. The survey is part of it. The survey was the 100-some people who actually went through a 24-question survey, and they told us, this is where I'm sleeping tonight. This is why I'm not in a home anymore. This is where I come from. This is the kind of challenge I'm up against that keeps me from having a home, I think.
Well, let's talk about some of that. Let's talk about the survey.
Okay.
You know, I'd love to know, because I'm assuming that like most surveys, it starts with simple questions like male, female, age, et cetera. So, you know, can you give me some of those numbers? We talked about adults, and we talked about the difference in children's numbers from the two sets. But what did you find from your survey in terms of male and female and family versus individual and length of time that they've been homeless, et cetera?
Okay. We had 130 people that meet the HUD standard for being homeless, adults, who responded. And there were another 21 that wouldn't meet the HUD standard, but would meet the school district standard. And their answers give us a partial picture. Of those, about 83%, got a better percent here, but most of them were men. And I don't have the percent handy. 89 out of 119 who answered that question were men. 30 were women. And
well, that's not almost 90 out of 120. That's pretty much 75% were men.
Right. I think it was about 78, somewhere along in there. There are generally a lot more people that get counted as homeless who are men than women.
Now, is that because that's actually the case, or because women are more difficult to count as homeless?
Probably both.
Because it seems to me to be 50-50, wouldn't it?
Maybe, not necessarily. Some programs that support housing are kind of packed more toward women than toward men.
Because they have control, or because they have responsibility for the children?
Yes.
Okay.
But the programs and what they look at are driven by where they're putting their money. So Housing and Urban Development looks at houses. Education looks at kids. Programs like the Shelter for Help and Emergency look at abused women. Each program has funds that come from sources to deal with a certain kind of problem, so those are the kinds of things they target their efforts against. And because of that, I think possibly because there's a perception that homeless men are better able to take care of themselves than homeless women with kids, that's possibly the way the numbers come up.
But all right. 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call with Mr. Cornelius, Jeff Cornelius from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District and the Area Coalition for the Homeless. I want to do this, and then we're going to come back. You're welcome to call up and ask your questions. about the statistics, the stereotypes. A lot of these things are on my list, but we'd love to hear from you. Make your comments. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Michael's out there today to answer your phone and patch you through. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy today, highs 30 to 35. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 20 to 25. Then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and snow tomorrow, highs 40 to 45. Right now in the valley, it's 28. In Lynchburg, it's 28 with a few clouds. Richmond and Charlottesville, 28 as well.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, now featuring travel gear from Eagle Creek, including travel packs, duffels, and rolling duffels, and other accessories. And if your travel gear is taking you somewhere warm, Blue Ridge has sandals from Teva and Reef, plus quick-drying warm-weather clothing from The North Face and Ex Officio. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center at Charlottesville, there at Wintergreen, and at BRMS.com. And if you've heard the rumors, you might need some of that stuff for Tuesday and Wednesday. All right, back to today's program, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you have questions or comments for our guest today, Jeff Cornelius, as we talk about homeless and the very recent 2007 census and survey that goes along with it. All right, Jeff, so pretty much 3-to-1 men over women in terms of number of homeless people. I'm curious as to how long, is there a certain length of time that you have to go before you qualify as being homeless? I mean, if I'm out for a week and you happen to catch me that Wednesday, but I feel confident or certainly quite hopeful that on Sunday I'll have a new place to go, do I, you know, am I in your survey?
Well, you'd still be counted as homeless that night. And when we did the surveys at the Salvation Army soup kitchen one night, there were a couple of people who said, I'm not going to take your survey, I'm gone next week. But there were a couple of other people that we talked to who said, I had a place to sleep last night, tonight I'm here. So people usually aren't homeless for all their lives. Taking a look at the numbers of how long have you been without housing? About 10% had been without a place to live less than a month. About 20% it was 1 to 3 months. About that many it was less than a year. So a lot of people are homeless temporarily.
I'm sorry, but less than a year is, that's a heck of a long time.
It is. Well, I talk about a year because being homeless more than a year is one of the criteria for defining someone who's chronically homeless.
All right, let me take this phone call. We have Kathy. Hey, Kathy.
Hello.
Question, comment?
Question. I'm wondering if you're seeing the numbers of homelessness getting better or getting worse.
Ooh, there you go. That's a good question.
That's a good question, and I wish I had a good answer. At this stage of the game, I'm not seeing a dramatic change from the numbers in prior years, but I've got to dig into it deeper to get a better call on that.
What are you going to find? I mean, you know, or what do you expect to find if you've, and granted that I think everybody's heard the line about statistics, you know, you can, you know, do anything you want with them to make any argument that you'd like, but what does digging deeper into them potentially do to change your initial thought on them not getting better or not having a significant change?
Well, it has to do with statistical methods. A good statistical method is what you use to see whether you're seeing the real thing or whether you're just seeing a problem in the way you took your sample.
See, I screwed statistics up several times at UVA.
Well, me too, but I finally passed. And the thing I'm going to try to get a tighter grip on is whether the actual numbers of people who go through the system have increased or whether it's staying about the same. I don't think I'm going to find a dramatic increase, but I may be wrong. Now, talking about people who come and go, too, there's a lady named Martha Boot, who's been working with this stuff much, much longer than I have, who says that if you take a look at what you come up with in your point-in-time survey, that's probably a fourth or a fifth of the actual number of people who in the course of a year are going to be homeless. So that takes the number from 200-some to 1,000-some. If you look at it another way, take a look at the people who, over the course of a year, have been in a shelter at some point, and add to that the number of kids that the school find that are homeless, and figure that where there are kids, there are adults somewhere. You come up with another number, and when we looked at that in December, when we were doing the run-up to the Homeless Persons Memorial Day, we estimated that around here we might have as many as 2,000 people homeless over the course of a year. So that's the bigger number.
Well, I'm a teacher in a very urban school in the eastern part of the state, and we are seeing such an increase of homeless children, and I don't know if we're getting better at targeting them and finding out who they are, or if we're actually seeing just a larger increase in the number of homeless children. But it's very, very difficult, at least from my point of view, to educate those children, because as you said earlier, you know, they come in, they haven't had a good night's sleep, they probably haven't had anything good to eat, they don't know where they're going to be in a week. So it's putting such a burden on the educational system, because you're having to educate these children coming from just these turbulent backgrounds. So it's a major burden for the entire society.
So, Jeff, what is that? Is that, you know, what's your initial leaning on that argument? Is it more people, more children being homeless, or better science at counting them?
I think we're getting better at targeting who is actually homeless. But that's my opinion.
Hey, Kathy, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I asked the lady, I want to say from either Charlottesville or Albemarle School District, that very question. And her answer was, at this point, I think we're just counting them better. But it is a challenge to get the right number, and then there's another kind of challenge, which is getting the number to zero.
Yeah, I think that would be a real tough challenge. 11:30 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Kathy calling us from the eastern part of the state. Last week, Mike called us from Atlanta. We are taking over the world, boys and girls. Be a fun participant. Let me thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for helping us put this program on the air today. They are Seville Reader's Choice for Burgers. And Five Guys serves America's standard fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Berkshire Shopping Center. They're in the Hollymead Town Center and now on the downtown mall. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. Jeff Cornelius from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District and the Area Coalition for the Homeless here in the studio today. And Chris is here to join us. Hey, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Great, man. Bring it on.
Okay, I mean, I just like to say from my own experience and, you know, people I've known, things I've seen, I've only heard a little bit of the program, but I feel that there, I don't know how relevant this is going to be to what you've been discussing, but there's enough money, you know, I think, to be found in the budget from all the taxes they take from us to provide shelter for the homeless and an unlimited amount, so to speak, because I don't think that people in general want to be homeless, obviously. I don't think people will take advantage of the system, which I think is a fear of, you know, right-wing fascist Republicans and stuff. But I think that money can be found to find housing
Well, you know, Chris, I think that you're moving us to the next part of the program, some of which I want to ask Jeff about the stereotyping of the homeless individual and whether they want to find a house. And because I think some people would say, and Chris did not say this, but some people would say, hey, you know, there's some place for those guys to stay if they want to stay there. And I think that that's a stereotype that's out there, and that from my steady, deep research for the week, is that there is a serious housing shortage in this area, and whether or not it's regional or national or whatever, but there's a serious housing shortage in this area that is helping to increase the number of homeless individuals and drive up your numbers. And although Chris... I believe Chris did say that the taxes could provide all that a home for everyone. I'm not sure that that's true. And Chris, I want to thank you for calling because I think that that's the important next set of information to talk about. Keep listening, man. What was that?
Am I still on the line?
You are still on the line.
May I say another thing?
Please.
I think that the taxes are available if, say, for instance, the defense budget were just slightly lowered. I mean, the amount of money spent on that is astronomical compared to what is spent. And I think also on various things, schools, homelessness, and various other social programs, it's affordable housing, too, that is an issue, so that, which drives, I think, people into homelessness. There's not a lack of homes, necessarily. I don't think, in this area I'm talking in particular, it's affordable housing. And I do think that people, by and large, there's always exceptions to everything, but I think by and large people want their own homes and they want to work and have their own families and homes and pay for them. But, and I think that there should be a more socialist take on it. That's all.
Hey, by the way, you said you hadn't been able to catch the whole show. SeavillePodcast.com and iTunes. Type in WNRN on iTunes, and generally we're up on Seville Podcast an hour or two after the program's over, but certainly by Mondays, and you can find us on iTunes as well.
Okay.
All right, man. Keep listening.
All right, thanks, dude.
Jeff?
It's true from the people I talk to that most of them do not want to be homeless. And I've talked to people who've been in this business a lot longer than I have that said, if we had a place for everyone to stay, there might be a half dozen that we'd have to talk into going indoors. But the vast majority of people, you know, people make choices. Choices have consequences, and sometimes they're unintended consequences. People do not choose to be mentally ill. People don't say, I want to be an alcoholic. People will not say, I want to be a drug addict. They may want to get high at some point, but that doesn't mean their objective is to destroy their ability to have a home. They make choices that have unintended consequences, and they don't have a place to live anymore. If the supply of housing at the bottom end of the price range was greater, if there were more subsidies available to take care of people who aren't making enough to afford a house or an apartment, never mind a house, an apartment. The minimum wage is in the process of going up for some people, the federal minimum wage. So it's getting a little better. But to be able to afford a house or an apartment in this area, one person would have to work more hours than there are in a week without sleep. The cost of housing around here is so high that affordable housing, whatever that means, some people say affordable housing means 30% of your income.
Right. Well, that's the HUD definition, correct?
That's what HUD says. If you take a look at what people have to do to be able to get into an apartment, you have to work more than one job, or you have to work for a higher wage scale, or you have to double up with someone else in that apartment, and being able to get along with them and their issues and your issues is one of the ways people find themselves homeless. The guy who has the lease tells the guy who doesn't have the lease, you're out. Most of these people are working. If you take a look at the survey results, 39% of the people had a job. 61% of them had worked full-time or part-time in the last 60 days. So they're trying to earn a job. But if you take a look,
even though they're homeless, and again, that's one of the stereotypes, I believe, is that the homeless don't work, and if they got a stinking job, that they wouldn't be homeless. But what you're saying is that the majority of them have a job. They're just not making enough money to actually get a place to stay.
When the sun comes up and the people who are in the Salvation Army shelter finish breakfast, most of them go to work or go looking for work. A lot of them are going to work. A lot of them at full-time jobs, but they still aren't coming up with enough money to be able to get a Charlottesville apartment. And
it's not like the outer county public transportation is so wonderful to bring you into town just because it's a little cheaper to find an apartment in Greene County or Fluvanna County, et cetera.
That's right. If you can't get to the job consistently, you can't hold the job. And that's part of the problem. That's why people say they can't find work and say they can't find affordable housing. Those are the two biggest challenges people told me they had. Told me and the other people working with me, because I didn't take all these surveys myself. I had a lot of good help.
All right, 11:39 here on the Wake Up Call with Jeff Cornelius as we talk about homeless, which is his job with the Thomas Jefferson Planning District, the Area Coalition for the Homeless. Dial us up, 979-0919. Ask your questions. Be more educated. Make your comments. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That is the toll-free number. And this is not a problem that is just here in Charlottesville and Albemarle, and there are other counties in which this particular 2007 census and survey were done.
Yes.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week everyone loves the self-satisfaction from recycling, but what really happens to all that paper, glass, and aluminum? The Hook checks it out. Area Democrats feel Virgil Goode made himself more vulnerable with his negative stereotyping of Muslims and others. So who are these candidates already stepping forward to challenge his next election? And what are the curriculum changes Albemarle County Superintendent Pamela Moran is presenting to the school board? The Hook, reminding you to send my Valentine card, care of WNRN. And let's thank 45fix.com for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Jeff Cornelius here today, the area expert, the area expert with a home, talking about the homeless from the recent survey. Jeff, tell me, what is the biggest problem for a homeless individual to regain their footing?
Well,
is that part of the survey? Do you ask the people?
I ask the people
if you could do this.
No, I haven't asked it that way, but I do say, what are the problems you're up against? Can you find work? What have you not been able to find? What services have you used? What services have you needed but haven't been able to get to?
Ooh, good questions.
And the number that is the biggest one in answer to that question, and I know from prior experience that this isn't just a problem here, it's a problem across the state, is getting dental treatment.
Getting dental treatment?
Think about it.
Well,
if you don't have pretty teeth, does it make it easier to get a job?
Okay, I can see that.
And
put
if
it
you
in
don't,
proper perspective.
If you don't have money to pay for a dentist, how easy is it to find one?
Do we have free dental stuff here in the area?
There is some, but not enough. And this is partly because we just aren't training enough dental hygienists. I don't know what the problem is on that end of it. But the dental hygienists are the frontline soldiers in dental care, and the state doesn't have enough of them. There are people who do volunteer dental services, and people find them. I think it works through the free clinic.
Has anything been done in terms of going around to all the local dentist offices and saying, you know, hey, let's make April 30th free dental care day? You know, because I know they do that for other businesses, and this is a completely ridiculous similarity, but I'm watching a college basketball game last night, and all the coaches are wearing tennis shoes because it's Coaches for Cancer Day, and you know, and that's their way of helping to raise money for cancer. And you know, is there some way to go around and get all the local dentists to turn? You know, we have, my God, we have Earth Day and Tree Day, and you know, can't we do something to get people to support? You know. And I can't even think of some silly phrase, which is what would seem to draw people towards it, you know.
I think there is a mechanism, and if there's somebody out there who's a dentist who's worked with this, or someone out there who's perhaps part of the Free Clinic Board of Directors, I think they know that answer.
Hey, call my dentist, Jay and Rebecca Sweat. Call them up and let's get them started on this. They're good people.
Yeah. It's like the prior caller said, we've got a lot of money in this country. Can't we afford some houses? There's talent, but there's a problem getting it mashed up with needs. And that's part of it. Not having enough dental hygienists is another part of it. Not having enough funds for all of this is another part of it. But there are people who contribute efforts. A lot of the surveys that we took, for example, were in the soup kitchens that area churches run to feed people a hot lunch Monday through Thursday. And another group of surveys we took at the Salvation Army where they're feeding people. There are people feeding, there are people providing housing, During the winter months, there's an outfit called Pachem that coordinates churches that set up cots in their facilities for people to be in out of the cold. And they house about as many people as the Salvation Army during that time. Those are our two big shelter providers in the area. Then there are a couple of smaller ones that are more specialized, like Shelter for Help and Emergency that takes care of abused women, and those Piedmont House that takes care of people who've come out of prison. But there are people providing it, but there's still a gap between the need and the provision. It's a distribution problem.
979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free line. I see the phone ringing now, so we'll get a call in just a second. Jeff Cornelius from the Area Coalition for the Homeless here today talking about the group. You know, again, not to make any sort of similarity, but George Bell hands me this piece of paper that says there's a National Spay Day for Pets, where I guess it's sometime in February where it's free or for a reduced fee. And you know what, folks? If we can take care of our pets, we can certainly take care of our people. Quick question. Should we donate to panhandlers?
Well, they will say absolutely you should.
Who will? The panhandler?
Yes. Now, the other 92% of people who don't do that may say that's not the best way. I don't have a good answer for that question.
Is there an official coalition reply to that?
There may be, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I will say that what we work on is getting people matched up with jobs and with housing, not with matched up with places they can go bother people for money. And the general effort and support of things like the day shelter, the Compass Day Shelter, is from people who would rather see folks indoors improving themselves instead of outside asking for money. That's a highly visible form of support for homeless people, but it's not the way most people do it. The people who have jobs outnumber the people who are asking for money about 20 to 1.
Chris is on the phone and wants to talk. Is it Shadyac? Chris?
Uh-huh.
I have a note here, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
I understand that Tom Shadyac, the guy that did the movie in Charlottesville and Crozier, wanted to buy the church and make that a homeless shelter. And one of the things I said in the paper was that they were afraid it was going to attract homeless from other communities and kind of make this a homeless mecca, so to speak. I was wondering if your guest could kind of elucidate us on that and see how you felt.
Ooh, good question. I'm going to hang up and let him talk about that, all right?
Thank you.
That's a great question. You hear that concern?
Yeah, that's the not in my backyard thing.
Yes. And they're already in your backyard. The first question we ask, other than gender, which we usually don't ask, we usually just check it out. How long have you been here, and where are you from? Where's your hometown? And 2/3 of the people who responded to the first question have been here more than 6 months. And as far as where they come from, most of them are from here. 62% of the folks we surveyed are from within the planning district, Charlottesville and those five surrounding counties. 38% of them said, my hometown is Charlottesville.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to live here, right? But it's not San Diego.
No.
Where people are, where I know that I've seen documentaries and other things where people are homeless, people are moving because, you know, it's a little more comfortable to sleep outside.
Yes. And I don't think there's a significant number of people who are attracted here because homeless people are not treated indecently, as they are some places.
Hey, is this more urban issue than a rural issue?
I don't think so. The things that make a person homeless aren't urban or rural.
Well, aside
they're easier
from,
to count.
Hang on, caller. Aside from the finances, what does make someone homeless?
Well, finances is a lot of it. If you ask, what happened that you aren't in a house? They say, I'm unemployed. The rent went up, and I couldn't afford it. I got evicted. I had a substance abuse problem. I had trouble with the law. The place I was in wasn't safe.
Okay.
Or it was substandard. Sometimes people get evicted because someone wants to fix the place up, and they can't do it with occupants. Sometimes they want to fix it up so they can make more money on it.
Nice.
And all of those things can happen, whether you're talking about downtown Charlottesville or out on the far end of Louisa County. It's still a matter of the cost, coming up with the money, getting along with your family or with your friends, which is the number one place people were staying before they became homeless, friends and family, or not being able to afford what you're in.
Caller, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I'd just like to say that I think I called in earlier, and in addition to, let's set aside government involvement in all this, that as a community here or anywhere, human beings, well, people, you know, a lot of times have enough, this is a difficult thing, I think, for me to articulate, but enough space to accommodate people in their homes every now and then. I myself have, you know, taken in various people into my home. And so, I mean, I don't know how that could be coordinated or if it could, but I think that a raising of a consciousness of the you know, the ability of people to provide homes or temporary homes at any rate for people who don't have them without government involvement is also a distinct possibility. And I don't know if there's any mechanism set into place by which people can seek that out, you know.
Well, let's let Jeff answer. Thanks for calling back.
Sure.
I don't know of a mechanism to do that. But
well, this program.
Well, yes.
Part of this is an educational hour.
It is. And I won't say there isn't one. But there's emergency housing and there's permanent housing. And permanent housing is the real answer.
Right, because even if the last caller is nice enough to let someone stay with him for whatever length of time, a week, a month, a year, is by HUD standards, that person, that guest, is not homeless. By Department of Educational standards, that guest is still homeless if they have children, correct?
Well, yes. If they're children, they're Department of Education homeless. If, in terms of a practical situation, they are homeless, they're part of that 2,000 people who aren't taken care of. Not taken care of permanently, anyway. And it's first aid. And there are lots of ways of getting first aid done. You can have someone go to an emergency room. You can have the rescue squad come. You can put the bandage on yourself. But that's not the full course of treatment. And the same thing applies to housing. We need emergency housing. We need supportive housing for a lot of people who can't function on their own. And Region 10, for example, provides some of that housing. I'm sure they would be delighted to be given funding to provide a lot more of it. There are different kinds of housing problem, but when you say we've got ways to take care of people and it's a problem of distribution, I think that's an astute statement.
All right, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call with Jeff Cornelius as we talk about homeless and homelessness. You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And don't be going anywhere, because in just a few minutes, George Bell is going to be here for Les Temps Perdus. If French isn't your thing at NRN, that means the time's gone by. And that means late 80s through mid-90s alternative. Tune in for it in just a few moments. Les Temps Perdus, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. All right, just a minute left or so. If you have a call, you could be the last person for the hour, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Jeff, I want to ask a question again about public housing. And does public housing, I mean, I think for most people, the assumption is that public housing is cheaper and it helps the homeless person. Is that true? Is it all aid, or are there any, does public housing in any way hurt those who are trying to regain footing and be fully and soundly housed?
I don't think that you can point to examples around here where public housing hurts. I think you can point, and every public housing program there are, and there are several different ways of going at it, will say there's not enough to take care of everybody. For the, I want to say it's called Section 8 program, there is a waiting list of years. There is not enough public housing to take care of everybody. There's not enough affordable private housing to take care of everybody. And working on getting more of these affordable housing units built is an approach that is being pursued in this area. And that's one of the hopeful signs that the City Council and the other organizations, the members of the Planning District Commission, are aware that there is a supply problem for housing, an affordability problem, and they're working on mechanisms to get the funding into building more affordable housing.
All right, quick question. I love throwing out these really deep questions with, like, we're going to give you 30 seconds left to answer them. What are you going to do with these numbers from the survey?
I'm going to put them into a press release that can spread the word out. I'm going to present a report to the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission that formally includes this. I'm going to put them into the Community Plan to End Homelessness, which is a project of a task force related to Thomas Jefferson Area Coalition for Homeless.
And these things, what do they do to get somebody a home?
They show the problem to people who want to come up with solutions.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, George Bell's up next. Boys and girls, thanks to Jeff Cornelius for coming in today. Next week, we're going to do a program on green architecture, environmentally sound housing, and some of the new items that are out there to help you do so. We'll see you next week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.